What is it like to be in the presence of the Lord? When the Hebrew people escaped Egypt and were wandering in the wilderness all those years, God called Moses up Mount Sinai in order to give Moses the tablets containing the law for the people. God had settled on that mountain like a cloud, and Moses approached the mountain but waited for 6 days. On the seventh day, God called to Moses to enter into this cloud. Now, to the people below, the cloud appeared like a devouring fire on top of the mountain. Moses entered the cloud and remained in God's presence for 40 days. At the end of that 40 days, Moses returned to his people. He descended the mountain, taking with him the two tablets of the covenant which had been given him by God. However, as he approached the people there waiting for him, Moses was not aware that his face was shining. He radiated the glory of God from being in God's presence. And when the people saw him, they were afraid and would not come near him. And from that moment on, Moses wore a veil over his face to hide God's radiance. Elijah was a prophet of God who lived about 900 BC, about 400 years after Moses. He lived during the reign of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And Elijah is known for vigorously defending the worship of God over that of the Canaanite deity Baal. Elijah was also known for performing many miracles. We are probably most familiar with Elijah through that wonderful Vacation Bible School story of his defeating the priest of Baal in the great contest on top of Mount Carmel. Now, the purpose of that contest, as you will recall from Vacation Bible School, was to see whose God could send down fire from heaven and light the altar that had been prepared. And you will remember how the hundreds of priests of Baal set up their altar and then danced around it, chanting and singing all day, calling for fire, but nothing happened. And all that time, Elijah was over on the side, and I'm pretty sure he was sitting in a folding lawn chair, and he was shouting insults at the priest of Baal, saying things like, "Maybe your God has forgotten you," or "Maybe your God is taking a walk," or "Maybe your God is off going potty." He said that. But when it was Elijah's turn, he soaked his altar with barrels of water. And when he called to God, the altar erupted in flames. Elijah's God was victorious that day. And because of this success, Queen Jezebel sends word to Elijah that she is going to have him killed. Elijah escapes into the wilderness and ends up hiding in a cave. The word of the Lord came to Elijah in the cave saying, "What are you doing here?" Elijah explains that he has done great things for God, but now he is all alone and his life is in danger. God commands Elijah to leave this cave and to go out and stand on the mountain because the Lord is about to pass by. So, Elijah goes to the mouth of the cave, and there he encounters a terrible wind that is splitting mountains and breaking rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was only the sound of a low whisper. And that was God. There in the quiet, in the stillness, in the silence. And God sends Elijah back to serve again as a prophet, Jezebel does not kill him. And in fact, at the end of his life, Elijah is carried into heaven by a chariot of fire, lifted up by a whirlwind. In our passage for today, we read of another interaction with the Lord in the incident known as the Transfiguration of Christ. This event involves Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Jesus is there along with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they have left the crowds and the other disciples, and they have ascended this high mountain. And while they are there alone on top of the mountain, Jesus is transformed. He is transfigured while the others look on. Jesus' clothes become dazzlingly white. Whiter, we are told, than any bleach could bleach them. And then suddenly, standing there with Jesus, are Moses and Elijah. And they are speaking to Jesus. Peter realizes who they are, and he presents an idea. He says to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings for you. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you." Now, apparently this was not the most insightful suggestion, because the gospel offers this side comment. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Do you remember the cloud covering Mount Sinai that called to Moses? Here in this story, a cloud overshadows those who are on this mountain. And from this cloud, a voice announces, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And then, without warning, everybody's gone. And it's just Peter and James and John and Jesus. And Jesus is no longer transfigured. He's back to how he was. And they head down the mountain, back to join the others to continue in their ministry together and their journey towards Jerusalem. Now, the Transfiguration story is an odd one. It takes place on this isolated mountain with only a few witnesses. There is the appearance of ancient heroes. There are glowing garments, a voice from a cloud, the disciples' awkward proposal. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. It is the final Sunday of the season of Epiphany. It is the last Sunday before Lent. Lent begins with Ash Wednesday this week, and Lent will take us on a new spiritual journey to the cross and beyond. On this Transfiguration Sunday, we celebrate the glory of God that resides in Christ. In the actual Transfiguration, we catch a momentary glimpse of the new reality that exists in Jesus. One of the purposes of Mark's gospel is to establish that Jesus brings something new to the faith. Jesus' message to the world is this: the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Early in Mark's gospel, when Jesus casts the unclean spirit from the man in the synagogue, the people respond saying, "What is this? A new teaching?" Jesus' purpose is to go into the towns and the synagogues proclaiming the good news. The Gospel of Mark is critical of the old faith of Israel and how it was not working for its people. This old faith and its reliance on a strict adherence to the law had become a barrier for people developing a relationship to God, for coming to God. Jesus' new teaching is that repentance is the key to salvation, not offerings and sacrifices. Moses brought the law to the people. Jesus brings the good news, something new, and he brings it with the full authority of God. The good news of this gospel is that there is a new sheriff in town. And the new sheriff comes to town with a promise of hope and peace and the message that the kingdom of God has come near. In Mark's gospel, Jesus stands in the face of the old ways. He blatantly healed people on the Sabbath, even though that was prohibited. He associated with sinners. He questioned the authority of the temple priest. When Jesus heals a paralyzed man, those who witness the miracle, they're amazed. They glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." They recognize that, yes, something new has come to town. When Jesus goes up that mountain with Peter, James, and John, Moses and Elijah appear there beside him. They are heroes of the faith. Moses, who led the people to freedom and delivered the law, and Elijah, who defended God against the incursion of foreign gods. These are the people that those in Israel expected to return to them and to lead them. And the people of Israel were always on the lookout for the new Moses or the new Elijah. Several times the Gospels tell of Jesus being asked, "Are you Elijah?" No, he is not. He is something new. He's the new sheriff that's come to town. On the mountain, when the three are together, Peter offers to construct three dwellings for these heroes. We're not exactly sure what he had in mind. Maybe he was proposing a religious museum where people could come and view their heroes. And if that's so, the concessions alone would rake in millions. But God says no. No. The cloud appears and the voice says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Jesus, he's not co-equal with Moses and Elijah. Jesus is the one to listen to. He is God's anointed messenger. The Transfiguration is a reminder to us of who Jesus is. He is God's Son. He is the recipient of God's glory. And this is a fact that we tend to ignore. We try to make Jesus fully human, like us, and nothing more. We attempt to explain away the miracles and the deeds of power. We want Jesus to be, well, to be our neighbor who lives down the street, who's available to help us out on occasion. If your car won't start, call Jesus. He'll come up and help out and bring his car for a jump. Or lawnmower broken, Jesus will loan you his, and then he won't say anything when you bring it back with a gas tank that's empty. The Transfiguration is a reminder that Jesus is greater than this. Jesus is God's Son. He is the one that we should be listening to. He comes with the power and the authority of God in this world. He is claimed by God, transformed by God. He is God's radiance, God's glory. The old ways, they've been set aside because there is a new sheriff in town. Hallelujah. Amen.